Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do a podcast. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, October 1st, 2017. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at mundanefestival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter, at Chris Lambert. This is episode 240. There's no guest today. There's no guest today, this week. But I was going to wait until I talked to a certain person. I'm in talks. I made an appointment to talk to a guest. But I didn't want to hold out. So I just figured I would give you an episode with me shooting the shit, hanging out, and just, you know, I figured I would do that. I figured I would talk to you guys. So right now, so this is a solo joint, sitting in my apartment, and I've got the last night's Timberwolves-Lakers game. And Timberwolves are like my favorite young team now. I like their squad. And I tweeted that, folks. I like this team. They're young. I don't know why Taj Gibson is wearing 67. Maybe that has some like personal significance to him. But it just looks weird to have an offensive lineman's number as a basketball player. That looks weird to me. But despite that weird number, I like the fact, you know, I like Jimmy Butler. I like Karl Anthony Towns. I like Wiggins. I like the fact that they got this young nucleus, and it'll be interesting to see how they develop, even though they're in a loaded Western Conference. I think they still make the play. I think they make the playoffs this year. Maybe like a 6, 7, or 8 seed. I mean, this has to be the time for Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins to blossom now that they got a more of a leader like Jimmy Butler, who's an all-star. And so we'll see, man. We'll see what's going to happen with these guys, man. Dwayne Wade is with the Cavs. People are doubting what he has left in the tank. But I think it would have to be, somebody was talking about this last week. It can still be more than Deron Williams. He could still be he's a better player than Deron Williams was last year. I think didn't Dwayne Wade average at least 18 or 20 a game? I'm not going to look that up, but I know he wasn't trash. So I don't think there's going to be that much pressure on him. So if he can pick his spots and contribute and have that, he's got the playoff and championship pedigree. So I think they should be okay. I think they can beat the Celtics. Of course they can beat the Celtics. I'm just trying to. I don't know that I want to. Can I give that to them right away? That they're going into the playoffs as a number one seed. They weren't a number one seed last year. I don't think that matters, and I don't think they really care that much, to be honest with you. So we'll see, man. I'm excited that the NBA is coming back. It's preseason games are good. Wiggins looks good as he misses this layup and his rebound. Oh, okay. So, yeah, so we'll see what happens, man. I'm excited. I'm so excited. So this week was pretty good for me. For me? It's pretty decent. So last week I was recording right before all the games started, the NFL games, and everybody was doing the knee, but they weren't doing it for... This is basically... They hijacked. I'm saying what everybody else done said the whole week, the people that tweeted and shit. They basically hijacked Colin Kaepernick's protest and put their own bullshit on it, talking about unity and all this stuff. And it's pretty much bullshit. So I don't even see a reason for them to kneel. I think now is a time for to just, I mean, dude, I think what the next step should be to take lead from Colin Kaepernick and start like donating money, donating time, and getting into the community. But I can't tell nobody what to do with their money. But it's kind of a moot point now. And even Colin Kaepernick said, "Yo, if you guys hire me, I'm not gonna kneel. I prove my point. I just want to play football." And you still see the gaslighting from the racists saying, "Oh, you're disrespecting the flag, and you're doing this, and you blah blah blah." And it's just, it's annoying, man. And it just makes me angry. And like, maybe I'll just do what I do on every Sunday. Maybe I'll have the game on, but I'll probably fall asleep while it's on. I tried to, what else? Oh yeah. And the boat. Yeah. So, let me keep my political hat on, my hashtag woke hat. I've never been asleep, you guys. I've never been asleep. So I don't need to classify me as being, I'm not woke. The Puerto Rico disaster with your president talking shit about Puerto Rico, not helping those people. Someone said on Twitter that it's crazy what he's doing, like he's just not paying attention to Puerto Rico. And then how can he expect to go back to New York when there's so many Puerto Ricans around? Nobody's gonna do anything. So yeah, it's horrible. That's like another Katrina, and I think it's probably even worse. It's even worse. So you got people out there like Jay-Z. I think Tidal has supplies going over there. Pitbull, it's got stuff going over there. Jennifer Lopez is doing stuff. Beyonce did a song in Spanish or something. And so people are, so these celebrities are, like I was saying, are a lot of them are going to end up being on the right side of history when after all this is said and done. But I can't really say anything that anybody else hasn't already said. But it's just, it's terrible, man. It's terrible how things are going, man, and how this president is, how his apathy. Yeah, it's terrible with his apathy. And someone was even saying that he might be trying to let all that shit slide, let Puerto Rico go, so he can like build over there and build his own shit over there. That's like that disaster shit like Patrice O'Neill was talked about on Mr. P when he was like, "Yeah, you just like all this stuff, you just let it go, and then you just start rebuilding like these, like you have to just really not care about people to just not give a shit, and then like you build luxury buildings and resorts over there." So it's just fucked up. And I hope and it seems like the people are getting are starting to get what they need, but it's just terrible to see all this stuff on social media where everybody's like, all your friends are retweeting or quoting Trump's tweet to say, "You motherfucker, you know, it's just like, yeah, I don't know. All right. So on a lighter note, my week was pretty decent. I did a comedy show. I did a comedy show after about 2 or 3 weeks of not doing any stand up, and I was really nervous. I thought I was going to shit the bed, and I did this show and at this place called the Falcon Underground in Marlborough, New York, which is not far from Poughkeepsie, New York. So this is like upstate, so in the like the Hudson River, off the like near the Hudson River and all that stuff. And I've done shows up there in that region before. I was open for the homie Damian Lemon at Laugh It Up Poughkeepsie. And this is maybe about 20 minutes to a half an hour from from Poughkeepsie, and I drove up there after work, and I get there. It's like this rock and roll music museum. Now, I didn't get I didn't go to the upstairs place where they have like these main stage acts. And I think there was some blues singer from New Orleans up there. And I didn't go up there. But where I was at, I took a bunch of pictures and put them on Instagram. It was just like this place was like a bar / museum. And they had like records like that people could actually, I guess, I don't know if they could listen to them or take them out. But there were tons of records there. There was like all these like, it was like, you know what it was like? It was like a TGI Fridays, but with music, but just strictly based on music and all kind of like there were pictures of Elvis and Willie Nelson and B.B. King and Duke Ellington and Bob Marley and all. It was really cool. It's a cool spot. And it was just like in the middle of like the country, almost, I wouldn't say it was the middle of nowhere because it just sort of, because it was near Poughkeepsie, which is like a major city in upstate New York. Can you call that upstate? I guess that's upstate. I mean, some people consider like once you get to, it's an hour from Westchester. So I guess you could call that upstate, whatever. Someone will correct me, or maybe not. But it's beautiful up there. But I didn't get to see. I'd driven up there before, but I didn't get to really take in that area because it was dark by the time that I got up there. But it was really nice. And on my way up there, I was just listening to some sets that I had done last month. I did that residency at Fresh Out, and I just like cobbled together some notes from that, and I was like, okay, I got an idea of what I want to do. And I did, thankfully, I did that week at the Creek that I just had, was in a flow, and I had structure to what I wanted to say and talk about. So the set ended up being I ended up doing really well. It was fun. I had a really good time. But I was super nervous, and I got to the point where I was just like, I know how to do this, but you can always fail. Like you can never be too confident. And when I got to the place, we almost didn't think we were going to have a show. Like it was almost like, okay, there's nobody here, and there's nobody. So are we going to do a show? Am I going to get paid still? And then like towards like maybe 8:15, 8:30, people started coming in. So there were like maybe 20 people or so in there. And for a bar show, that's enough. Like, I mean, that's all you need. Like, it's just, you love the show to be packed, but all you need is a few people willing to listen and willing to just be open to having a good time. And it ended up being fun. And I was supposed to do like a half hour, and I did like 42 minutes after I cut my phone recorder off. And maybe about 15 minutes into my set. So this was like kind of in, it's like, I don't want to say it's in, I said this earlier, but I don't want to, it's like, it's almost, it's basically in the middle of nowhere. And so I'm doing this show in Marlboro, New York, and it's near like SUNY New Paltz and all of that. So it's near a college and everything. And I guess that anyway, so I'm 15 minutes into my set, and there's this black family that comes into the bar. And it's like they're like 8 to 12 deep, and they have a baby with them. And I'm in the middle of like my set, and I'm just talking, and like the baby starts crying. I said, God, you guys are going to ruin your kid with me talking about the stuff that I'm not really talking about dark, but it's an adult show. And so I get into my like dating relationship chunk, and I talk about interracial dating, and they happen to start walking out. And I guess I've disappointed the black family. Like I'm walking the black family out. But I think they had just come from the blues singer upstairs, and they were just trying to see what was going on in the downstairs area, in the underground area. But so it goes. I kind of felt like sad that they left, like that the Black family left. But they laughed a few times, so I guess I didn't feel too bad about that. And ended up having a good set. And shout out to Jody Lee and Rosario Stiano for having me on their show. It was a good time, man. It was just good fucking time. I had fun. It was good to just do a long set, and I was just like, I just had the anxiety of like, oh my god, I'm gonna bomb. But it felt good. It felt good to be on stage and all that jazz. I've got some new ideas that I have to flesh out too. And thankfully I didn't go to work the next day. Let's see what else can, I've got some stuff to talk about, but I think this is going to be pretty short. I want to talk about like some movies, a new Netflix show, and I think that's it. I think I'm just going to get out of here. I didn't really do much this weekend. Like I went to Wegmans again. I'm gonna try to make a pizza like they're gonna with their pizza dough to see how that works out, and with my toppings and stuff. So I'm gonna see how their stuff works out. I did try the chicken wings from Wegmans and from their hot bar. They're pretty good. Speaking of chicken, I wanted to go to Popeyes. This afternoon, and I went, and they were supposed to open at 10:30, and I got there at 11, and this Filipino dude got there before me, and I was like, it's just me and this Filipino dude. And he got out of the car, and I saw him trying to open the door. He was like struggling to open the door, and they weren't open yet. And I got out of my car. I was like, hey, are they not open? And he was like, no. I said, oh, I thought they were supposed to open at 10:30. He's like, yeah, man, me too. And he was pissed. And he was like peeking in the door, like trying to see if people were going to come out. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'm not having Popeyes today. So I just went to Chicken Supreme, this spot that's in Hackensack, and a little neighborhood local joint, locally owned business. You know what I'm saying? And I went in there and got a couple pieces of chicken and had me some string beans, warmed up some string beans and ate. And I don't have the itis. Like I should be napping right now, but I'm doing a podcast because I care about you guys. I care about you. So I did that. I just called an audible and succumbed to stereotypes. In another way. So chicken. I was gonna play Uncharted 4, but that shit took like 4 or 5 hours to download. It's like I don't know. Like I was gonna play it, and I was like, okay, I'll play Uncharted 4. I'll finish it, and then I'm not gonna finish that shit in a weekend. I think it's like 10 hours of gameplay, and it just took so long to download. And there was a thing, I guess you could play it without the network. Like it says, it gives you the option to play without the network features, but I said, you know what, I just want to play the game like it's intended to be playing. I don't want to rush anything, so let me just play this game like it's supposed to be. So I just waited, and then I was just like watching. I'm into Bobby Lee's podcast, Tiger Belly. Like I watched him on YouTube, and I watched one with James Vanderbeek, Eric Griffin, and Joe Coy. And I was just vibing out. And I was just enjoying his podcast that he has with his girlfriend and all that stuff. It's really good. I was vibing out to that. And then, like, I think I just went to sleep after that. And that was my Saturday. Oh man, I did run errands. I did go to the grocery store. I did do that, and I dropped off my dry cleaning. So I was productive. I did some adult shit, you know. I paid a couple bills. Still more to pay. But I did, you know, I did that. But like, I get to the point, man, where if I do stuff during the week that's productive and I do like do things, I don't really feel the need to like really go out. I'll just, cause you spend money that you shouldn't spend. I'm really becoming like, I don't know if I'm becoming like this hybrid of JD Salinger, not the talent, but just the reclusiveness and like soccer mom shit, you know, like I just kind of get into that. I don't know. Like that's not super healthy. I should be more social than I am. So let's do some movies. So I wanted to do that. And, I didn't, so maybe I'll play a little bit. I'll play a little bit this afternoon and see what it's like. Some say that that's the best one. Now, do people say that the Uncharted 4 is the best, or is it 3 or 2? I can't keep up. Now everybody has this Super Nintendo classic that just came out on Friday, and people are unboxing it. They're playing it. Apparently, it has like Star Fox 2 on it. That was a game that never got released, and they shelved it, but then they packaged it into this this new system, and everybody's like nostalgic over this. And I remember when I was in Cleveland a couple years ago for the Accidental Comedy Festival, I was in, I think it's on my Instagram, if you go back 2 years around this time, I was in a used, it was like there, it was like a GameStop and video store. I forget the name of that place, but I bought a bunch of comedy CDs. But anyway, that place had a Nintendo there, and they had the games. They were still selling the games for like $50, the cartridges and shit. And my Nintendo somewhere in my parents' house. But I guess people get nostalgic for that stuff. It's hard for me. I don't know. Like, I guess it would be cool to play those games, but then like, that's like going from like a porterhouse steak to back to like ham and cheese, you know? It's just not like but I guess people yearn for that nostalgia from their childhood. And I guess part of me does that in some ways. I don't know. I don't know how that manifests in my life. I'm sure that it does, because I know I'm not above it. There's probably tons of things that I probably action figure shit. Like if I had disposable income, I would probably buy action figures, like not the ones that you can just pick up from Target, which I put on Instagram and shit, but probably like those Hot Toy collectibles. Real nerds know what I'm talking about. Like, I follow a bunch of accounts on Instagram. The action figures cost like $300. I would buy sneakers. I'd buy action figures. And I'd buy like flannel shirts. I'd buy shit from Duluth Trading Company and Eddie Bauer. Like sweaters, flannels, polo shirts. I don't know that I would buy video games as much, because there's only like a handful that I would really be into, but I still love video games. I mean, Roy Wood Jr. and I talked a lot about video games that I really wasn't expecting us to talk about that much. Speaking of video games, I did some really nerdy shit this weekend. I bought one of those themes, like those background themes for my PlayStation. I bought The Last of Us 2 theme. And it's just like, it's from the trailer that came out last year, but it's like all greenery, and it's like birds chirping And it's like a, it's pretty fucking cool. I think I paid like $3 or $4 for it. So I did that. That was really nerdy. And I see, if you follow, if you don't, if you're not already following Fat Kids Deals on Twitter, they have a, and if you've never played The Last of Us, I don't know why you even listen to this podcast, because I at least talk about it once or twice a month. But if you've never played it yet, I did see that there was a kid, there's a guy that I went to, that I was in conservatory with. He's an actor, and he was posting on Facebook, my first time playing, and finally got some free time, my first time, and he get just a picture of him starting The Last of Us, and I was like, you're going to enjoy it, man. So there's people still out there that haven't played that, and if they're anything like me, like I hadn't played the Uncharted series, that's been out since, what, like 2008 or 2009, something like that, so... If you have not played The Last of Us and you have a PlayStation 4, there's a deal going on where they have it, have the digital code for $10. So 20 plus hours of gameplay, a remastered game, and it's $10. That's the best $10 you could spend for your entertainment. Speaking of digital entertainment, I posed the question yesterday, like, this has probably come up a lot. This has come up a lot on the show. Do you guys just download your movies? Like, if you want a movie, like Spider-Man came out. Spider-Man Homecoming is out now to buy digital copies of it. And it's like $18, $15 to $18. Part of me's tempted to, like, one, it's like, I don't want to fuck up my money and get it. Like, yeah, I'm on a budget, but it's like, do I want to get that or do I want to just wait? Because they do have, this one has special features, and digital copies don't always have special features, you know? So if it's a movie I really like, for the most part, I'm going to get the hard copy. I'm going to get the Blu-ray. I have a shit ton that I'm staring at right now. I have a decent amount of Blu-ray movies. But yeah, like Spider-Man Homecoming is definitely one that I think that I want to get on Blu-ray when it comes out. Yeah, I just don't know. Everybody's doing the Spotify, and it just makes me, I don't know. I'm still undecided about that. I don't know. Anyway, so let's do a couple movies. I think we can do three. One I was just kind of disappointed in that all right, so we'll do this. On my way to, on Thursday after work, I went to see this movie, Brad Status, starring Ben Stiller and who's the kid? Austin Abrams. Yeah. Austin Abrams, what was he in? I'll try to see what else this kid was in. Paper Towns. Okay. Was he the lead in Paper Towns? Paper Towns, The Kings of Summer, Grass Stains. Okay. All right. Yeah. So he's a young artiste. So Brad Status, let me read you the blurb on this. Brad Sloan has a satisfying career and a comfortable life in suburban California, but it's not quite what he imagined during his glory days in college. Sloan keeps comparing his life with those of his four college friends, wondering what it would be like to have their well-paying and glamorous jobs. When circumstances force Brad to reconnect with his buddies, he soon begins to question whether he has failed or is in some ways the most successful of them all. This movie was written and directed by Mike White, who did, Year of the Dog. He wrote that. I don't think he directed it, but he wrote The Good Girl, Chuck and Buck, Nacho Libre he wrote. So he's been around for a while. He was a producer on Dawson's Creek, I believe, as well. So he's a guy that's been in the game for a while. This movie is 81% on Rotten Tomatoes. 3.5 out of 4 stars for Roger Ebert, 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb. I enjoyed this movie. This was like, right, this movie was, for me, it was just, it was in the pocket. It's not something that you have to, this is a good movie when, for a comic, like if you're on the road, you're traveling, you got a one-nighter, you got time to kill. It was in the pocket for me. Like, I missed probably the first 5 minutes of it because I got there a little late. But I think what I could have did was I could have went to another movie theater in a town that was that I passed first. I could have gone to another. I could have went to, basically, if you're a comic, I probably could have went to the one in the Regal Cinema in Fishkill and made it on time. And then just, I would have just had to travel like another half hour to the show. I would have gotten out in time and I wouldn't have been late. But since I'm a nerd, I'm so worried about time and being on time, I went to the Galleria Mall in Poughkeepsie. Anyway, I did like this movie. It's definitely, if you're like a woke, if you like just on face value, like superficially, it was a good movie. Ben Stiller was in it. He's the lead. I really like, and Jenna Fischer plays his wife. She's like who didn't have a crush on Pam from The Office, and who didn't have like his Pam Beasley at his job or somewhere. I think everybody has had their own Pam Beasley at their job, somebody they kind of had a crush on, or they had like a relationship with, or some kind of flirtatious thing happening. So I always look at her that way. So it was cool to just see her in the movie, but she was just the wife. She wasn't in, it was the scene, the movie was basically about the relationship between Brad, the Ben Stiller character, and Troy, who's the son. And they go up to, they're from Sacramento, I think from California to Boston to visit colleges. And Ben Stiller works for this nonprofit, and he's got this good job, and he's just an upper middle class existence. His son is a musician, basically like this prodigy, and he's really smart, and he's got a lot going on for him. And he's kind of seeing, like, he's just Brad Sloan. Ben Stiller is just like having basically a midlife crisis. And it was funny because on the surface, like I said, it's entertaining. But then you look at it, it's like, why is this white man complaining? Why is this dude complaining? And there's a scene in the movie where he gets checked. That, like, I don't want to. Not to really spoil anything, but his white privilege does get checked in the movie, and it kind of makes him, he makes him like, oh shit. Because before that, there is a moment where, and I was talking to the homie Randolph Terrence about it after I had seen the movie, we were talking, and I was like, yeah, there's a scene in the movie where he's talking about, like, he's telling his son to like get his shit together. And he's like, yeah, you know, this is Harvard. You're going to interview at Harvard, and you're competing against people from Hong Kong, people from all over the world. And you're a white male, and you're the underdog right now. You're the underdog. And I was like, really, really, young, you the underdog? But it speaks to a lot of conversations that I've been having with my black friends about how white people, when they start seeing minorities get the slightest laceration of the American pie, of the American dream, then they're just like, wait a minute, what's going on? Because they never had, like, you know, and not to say that if you're white, you never had to work for anything, but you know what I'm talking about. You don't even have to take it to that extreme, you know, white people that are listening. But hashtag not all whites. Hashtag not all the good whites. I was listening to Bobby Lee's podcast Tiger Belly, and the episode where he has James Vanderbeek on, he was just like, "You're one of the good whites." I thought that was funny. And Vanderbeek did too. So lighten up, white people. That was a pretty interesting moment. It was just like, huh, yeah. And that was cool that Mike White put that in there. In the movie, like, he doesn't go... What I liked about the movie is that he didn't go unchecked by life and by the people that were taking him in, taking him, his character in, and really listen to the stuff that this character going. And granted, you can also have the fact that this character is like the guy that's almost 50 years old. He's thinking about his life. I think that's something that I do myself. You see your friends, you see some of your friends that have families that are successful, and you're like, oh my God, did I make the right choices in my life? And is this the right thing that I'm doing? And you get this, you see that you're on this path, and you see things are going pretty decent for you, but then there's always somebody that you think the grass is greener, but then if you look beneath the veneer of what's going on in their life, then it's not as great as you think it is. And so there's an awakening that this character has a few times on this trip, over the course of his trip / the movie, that's pretty interesting. So it's definitely a movie worth seeing. It's not something, if you just want to see like a grown-up movie and you're not into like these, this is kind of a dead time. Because I was thinking about seeing The Kingsman, and I listened to people talk about it on their shows and stuff, and I was just kind of like, I could wait. I mean, the first one was a pleasant surprise. The first one was like me being on the road, me being at a, I think I was at a festival or doing a one-nighter, and it was just like, oh, this movie was fun. Like, okay. But the second one is just like, I could wait. I could wait on that. What else? So I saw that Brad Status. I recommend it. I do recommend seeing that movie. It's not something that you need to rush out and see. But it's in the pocket. And it's entertaining. It's satisfying. And when it comes out on video, I do want to see it again, because I missed the first like maybe 5 to 10 minutes of it. And which is, if you know me, that kind of chapped my eye. I was like, oh, I'm so mad that I missed it. The second movie that we'll talk about, I saw Battle of the Sexes with Emma Stone and Steve Carell. I'll read you the Google description. The 1973 tennis match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs became the most watched television sports event of all time. Trapped in the media glare, King and Riggs were on the opposite sides of a binary argument, but off court, each was fighting more personal and complex battles. With her husband urging her to fight for equal pay, the private King was also struggling to come to terms with her own sexuality, while Riggs gambled his legacy and reputation in a bid to relive the glories of his past. This movie was directed by Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris, who did famously Little Miss Sunshine, and a movie that I like called Ruby Sparks, written by Zoe Kazan, who I'm a big fan of. But I'm sure Zoe Kazan, who was in The Big Sick, if you like that. First of all, so I saw this movie. I saw this movie on Friday afternoon in a new an AMC dine-in theater, which for the past, I guess maybe like the past like 5 to 10 years, these places have been popping up a lot. And AMC, they have a couple in Jersey, but they're just kind of out of the way for me. Like, the nerd in me would eventually travel to one of these places, but I didn't realize they just opened one up right in Hackensack, right in the mall that's literally across the highway from me. So I was like, oh shit, I'm going to the movies and I'm going to see something there. And my God, it's beautiful. It's really nice. And it's one of these places where they have nine theaters, and we'll get back to the movie. But they have nine theaters, and this is one of the places where you order your food, you go to the concession stand, you can get your regular candy, popcorn, soda, and whatnot. But then they have this menu, and I was asking one of my coworkers about this. I was like, hey, they opened up one of these dine-in theaters, you know, blah, blah, blah. Have you been? And he had been to an AMC with his wife. And he was like, yeah, you know, the food's not bad. He was like, you know what, Chris, the food's not bad. It's sort of like TGI Fridays. And, you know, but you're at the movies. And I was like, all right, let me not be a Black Twitter elitist and say, let me try this movie theater food. And before then, you know, I had been to the Alamo Draft House. I'd been to the one in Yonkers, where you could get an alcoholic beverage, you could get a, you know, pizza or whatever. You get all kinds of food, and that food there is not bad. It's good, but like it's just sort of like you're kind of eating your food in the dark, and it's kind of like the novelty of it is pretty cool, but it's like mainly I'm there for the movie. But so I get there, and I'm being really indecisive about what I'm gonna get, because they have like burgers, they have like flatbread pizza, chicken wings, like these little tiny things that whatever I think they call them, chicken tenders. Earlier that day I had some Chick-fil-A for breakfast, and I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna go too crazy, and this will probably be my last meal for the day. And I was thinking to myself, because they have the calorie counter, they have the calorie content on the menu. And I was like, yeah. And then they said, it's one of those things that most people consume X amount of calories a day. So please consider that, you fat asshole. And I was like, oh, yeah, And I was like, you know what? Let me get. And the kids there were helpful. Like, they were these young kids. Like, you old motherfucker, just pick something. But they were really sweet. Those kids were really sweet. Because it was 1 o'clock. It was like 12:45 in the afternoon. Nobody's at this mall. This is one of these malls where it's definitely a rich people mall, because this is where I go get my cologne at from the Bloomingdale's. And they have like these high-end stores. This is the first time that I actually realized that certain malls like this have restaurant parks. So there's these, not only do they have the high-end stores like the Bloomingdale's, it's a flagship store. What else is there? Let me look this up since we're getting into it. Let's get the Shops, because it's called the shops at Riverside, and Shops is spelled with two P's and an E. Shops at Riverside. Why is it doing this? Because I'm just using one hand. Jesus Christ. Come on, man. You know which one I'm looking at, Google. You know what I'm talking about. You can hear everything that I'm saying. Riverside. You know, sidebar. Yesterday I was driving and I had my Google Maps on. And I was listening to a podcast, and while I was listening to the podcast, Google was like, it was making the red, you know, the Google colors, like red, green, and yellow, and like blue or something. Like they were like it was like they were listening to the podcast that I was listening to. And I'm like, why are you guys doing that? Nobody's talking into, like, I'm not talking into it. It's just a weird fucking thing. I don't know, it's just weird to me. So the Shops at Riverside, actually it's not spelled with two p's. Okay, it's not that as elitist as I thought. There's a Cheesecake Factory there. There used to be like a Saks. Let's see, our House, a Furnishing a Better World, and Ann Taylor, Banana Republic, Brookstone, Brooks Brothers, Coach. There's a Coach store. Godiva chocolate. It's like a regular mall, but there's some more a Morton Steakhouse. Like the more I've been to Morton's once, my mom and I took my mom there. So they have like a restaurant park of like high end restaurant chains like P.F. Chang's, Maggiano's, Morton's, Cheesecake Factory. It's an interesting mall, but it's like to look at it, if you're driving past it, it's hard to find a parking place, but you go in the mall, it's like there's hardly anybody in there. But anyway, so I'm at the movie theater. I'm like, okay, what am I going to get? I want to get something. I want to try it. I want to have that full dine-in experience and whatnot. And I was like, you know what? How are the nachos? Let me just get the loaded nachos. And I got them. And so you pay for it. And you... So I ended up... So overall, so I got nachos and a soda. The movie ticket was $9. So I ended up paying like $31 for the movie and the chips and the nachos and the soda. And I was like, okay, that's kind of a lot. I'm not going to do that shit all the time. But I was like, okay, just to try it, just for a treat or whatever. The nachos were pretty good. So I paid for it. And then they bring it to you. They bring it to your seat. All the seats are assigned. And you just go, then they bring the food to your seat. And it was good. It ended up being good. The cheese was kind of soupy towards the end. But mainly with all the toppings and stuff, it was really, I was impressed. I was like, okay, that was good. Maybe the next time I go, I'll try the salad. I'll try like their Cobb chopped salad. That looked pretty good. But the thing about it is, you go to one of these places. So if you go to a regular AMC, there's a standard issue mall AMC at the Garden State Plaza, which is near me, and it has like the seats. It hasn't been renovated. And the seat, it costs like for a ticket, it costs like $14. Like I remember going in there and just it had been a while since I'd gone in there. And the girl at the register was like, oh, it's $14.80. I was like, what? I was like, damn. Like this isn't, we're not in New York City. I'm not in Brooklyn. I'm not, you know, I'm not across the George Washington Bridge anywhere. You $14? And I was like, okay, if you're going to charge me $14, I might as well just go to the theater that's close by to the AMC and pay $14 and get a nice comfortable seat, and it's a nicer theater, and if I want a snack or something, I can get a good snack. But I don't know, man. This movie tickets, I see why a lot of people, why prices are going, like why people are not going to the theaters a lot, because that shit is just really, shit's really expensive. But the good thing about it is, I think if you become a Stubbs member, or if you're in any type of, if you go to the movies as much as I do, I think it's beneficial to get like a member's card, like to sign up for some type of membership. AMC has this thing going right now where if you sign up, you can sign up for double points. So if you're spending this money, if you're spending money for these tickets and you're buying this, you're buying concessions there, it's in your best interest to do that, because you can at least get your something back. You know, you at least get, they used to give you $10. Now they give you $5, but it's easier to get to your $5 reward. So the next time I go to that theater, they also have $5 Tuesdays. So I'm going to make it a point to where I'm going to go to the theater and I'm going to just pay $5 and I'm going to catch up on some of the movies that I haven't seen. Maybe I'll go see It. Maybe I'll go see American Made or whatever's playing, just to take advantage of it. But they ain't going to get $16-$17 on no concessions from me. Not all the time, they're not, you know, because like usually they would get like, I buy a large Dasani and some M&Ms, that's $9. But I ain't gonna be doing that shit that often. So it might be to a point where like I may have already eaten dinner or something, because until October 31st, Tuesdays, $5 movies if you're a Stubbs Rewards member. So if you're a Premier Stubbs Rewards member, do that. All right. That was my experience at the AMC Dine-In. I really liked it. That's my new theater. Other than the Jacob Burns Film Center in Pleasantville, New York, as far as independent movie houses are concerned, that's my favorite. And I'm assuming they're going to get certain things before the mainstream AMC, you know, theaters get stuff. That's going to be where I'm at. So I really dug it. I was the movie nerd in me was just so excited. That was like going to a theme park. I'm hoping to see The Mountain Between Us this week with Idris Elba and Kate Winslet. And I feel like Idris Elba is going to die because he's black and he's like around a white woman, and he's going to save her and she's going to die. But I'm going to see it because I like Idris Elba and I like Kate Winslet too. I mean, Kate Winslet, if you've seen her in Little Children, I mean, people can talk about how much they love Titanic, but Kate Winslet and Little Children, what? Okay. Battle of the Sexes, really good. I like this movie. I didn't know anything about, I knew of this event, Billie Jean King versus Bobby Riggs, but I enjoyed it. I'm a big Emma Stone fan. I like Steve Carell. Great performances. I think right now, Emma Stone, she's going to get nominated again. She's a star. She's what you call a movie star. And she's a really good actress. I think this is the first time that she's played a real person. She's official, man. She put on this good performance. Some of the most sensual lesbian scenes that I've seen, or I don't know, it's just the way that it was shot, the acting. Who's this other girl? Who's the girl that played her love interest? Andrea Riseborough, who's interesting looking, hot. You know, just really, because I'm not really like, ooh, lesbians kiss her. Ooh, ow, ow. Not really, you know, I'm not mad at it, but it's just like, I was like, oh, I'm just really like, all right. You could see the chemistry that they had with each other that was really, really good. And it was pretty neat to see a star like Emma Stone get down like that, because normally it's sometimes stars can be, you know, her level can be kind of, they look like they kind of have like a lot of inhibitions when it comes to that. But maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just something I noticed, but I thought it was really good. Steve Carell, always, no matter if he's playing a dick, who Bobby Riggs is kind of like a chauvinist, definitely comes off as a male chauvinist. But at the same time, even though he's playing a character like that, you can still see the vulnerability that he has as an actor. That what makes him a great actor is that vulnerability that you can see. Like, you can, like, again, hate to say beneath the veneer again, but you can see him, you know, that there's a soul inside of that character, which makes him compelling. And even though he's kind of been a douche for most of the movie, you can see when he's in a situation where he's like kind of where he's not doing as well, and it's kind of like you still have some kind of compassion for him. So it's definitely worth seeing. Maybe Carell gets a Best Supporting Actor nomination out of this. This is just quick and dirt. This is just like the first thing that I've seen. It's the fall now. It's hoodie weather, sweater weather. It's starting to, you know, it's starting, the weather's starting to cool down. We're starting to have this onslaught of movies that are trying to contend for some hardware towards the end of the year and in February. So I'm really just, I think this is it. Like, right now, the only thing, other movie I could think of is the trailer that I've seen of the, what's my girl, pretty redheaded girl, Jessica Chastain, Molly's Game, I think it is. The Aaron Sorkin movie. Molly's Game, I think. And Idris Elba is in that too. He's telling Idris be telling Wacker, you can't be doing too much now. Basically what he was doing. Molly's Game comes out November 22nd. And yeah, let's see. Okay, here we go. The true story of Molly Bloom, a beautiful young Olympic class skier who ran the world's most exclusive high-stakes poker game for a decade before being arrested in the middle of the night by 17 FBI agents wielding automatic weapons. Players included Hollywood royalty, sports stars, business titans, and finally, unbeknown to her, the Russian mob. Her only ally was her criminal defense lawyer, Charlie Jaffe, who learned there was much more to Molly than the tabloids led people to believe. All right. So I think Jessica Chastain was overlooked last year. What was the joint that she did? Her and Gugu and Bhatheraw. For what the hell was that movie? I'm telling you, it was overlooked, and I can't even tell you what the joint was. Okay, where is it at? Miss Sloan. Yeah. So I thought Miss Sloan was a good flick. So right now, I think Molly's Game is going to get some buzz once that comes out, because it's an Aaron Sorkin joint and it's Jessica Chastain looking like she ain't taking no shit from nobody. So, but Emma Stone, man, I was telling the homie John from About to Review, I was telling him, I was like, yeah, because I was asking him, you know, oh, how was Battle of the Sexes? He's like, oh, it was good, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I told him I saw it, and I was like, yeah, Emma Stone, she's definitely, she's contending for an Oscar again this year. And she had this Captain Phillips moment that, if you've seen Captain Phillips, it's like Tom Cruise at the end of Captain Phillips just like having this big, huge breakdown, crying at the end. I was like, oh shit, Emma Stone had one of those. I mean, I'm not really spoiling anything. It's part of history, but this moment in the movie, Emma Stone had her little Captain Phillips moment. I was like, oh shit. And there you go. There goes that scene. Like, granted, you have her in these moments where she's, there's a couple of scenes where she's talking shit to the patriarchy, and it's like, okay, damn good scene, you're doing your thing, blah, 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 that's good. But then that last moment was like, oh shit, maybe I shouldn't have spoiled that for you. That's not really, I mean, fuck, whatever. Molly's Game was good. Molly's Game, I have not seen Molly's Game. Battle of the Sexes was really good. See it, it's worth seeing, because it's going to be one of those movies that gets nominated for shit. Definitely. Close it out with this Netflix show called Big Mouth, which is a Nick Kroll show, cartoon created by Nick Kroll and Andrew Goldberg. I really liked it. It's just about an adult animated comedy series that explores the teenage adventures of puberty. And it's basically, you got a cast with Nick Kroll playing the lead kid, Nick. John Mulaney playing his best friend Andrew, Jenny Slate playing a character, one of their classmates, Jordan Peele playing playing the ghost of Duke Ellington, and a couple of other roles, and Maya Rudolph playing the female, like, libido, like, what do they call it? Basically, you know what though? It's basically good. Like, maybe you could check out a trailer or whatever, or just like, I highly recommend it. It's a good, funny show, and it's just about these young characters going through puberty, basically. And it's interesting. I think it's really good shit. These Netflix shows, cartoons, really get me, because you can watch them over the course of a weekend. There's 10 of them, and they're only like a half hour long. So it's definitely worth checking out. I don't really want to spoil too much for you. I saw someone on Twitter say, I just started watching Big Mouth. What the fuck am I watching? Like, meaning that, like, wow, they really dug it. What else, guys? That's about it for the show. I've got some stuff coming up. I've got a show. I'm hosting a show this month somewhere in Jersey. The Comedy Shop in Pompton Plains. So that's like at the end of the month. And that's it for now. Right now, I'm just going to be like, just going to be working on some new material and writing, and we'll see where it goes from there. But I'm going to be around. I'll talk to you. Yeah. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next time, folks. Peace.